let's wander to the observation deck, where our host, Gordo, will take us through the next 12 minutes, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. Well, we can all die happy now that 40 years after the movie came out, the cast of John Hughes's film The Breakfast Club finally got back together at a big pop culture convention. I hear some groaning over there from George Dunham's microphone. This is huge news.
I know. I think for, I would say your generation, but you're in our generation, but there's some sort of disconnect between... I think you and I are very different because I grew up, my parents were a lot older than yours and...
You're like, what, 6 years older than me? That's not much.
It's enough though. It's enough during that time when you're a teenager or a 20-year-old. Don't dismiss me.
No, culture moves fast. You're right. I mean, you grew up with different...
And by the time this movie came out, we were not in high school anymore. And this was not...
Neither was half the cast when they filmed the movie.
Right. But I just looked at it as, okay, that movie was kind of annoying, and so were all the characters. There were some funny moments in it.
You mean happy birthday to that movie.
There were some funny moments in it, but at least, I don't know if I'm speaking for Junior, but those of us who were already in college, this movie was not that great.
Gosh. It was the greatest of
85?
The John Hughes movies. Yeah. So much better than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop that.
Sensing an opposing opinion.
I can name about 8 John Hughes movies that were better than this.
Okay, name them. I got my hands out.
I can't even name 8 John Hughes movies.
All the Home Alone.
You can't say all the Home Alone.
Absolutely.
You have to name them.
Okay,
Home Alone
1.
I don't think that he directed any of them.
2. They're John Hughes films.
I think he wrote the first one.
Certainly Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is better than...
Okay, that's 2.
This hunk of garbage.
Don't call it a hunk of garbage. This was a generational film.
16 Candles.
Wow, I don't think that one holds up at all.
I never liked that movie.
I thought that one creeped me out.
Yeah, there was some creepiness to it.
Was that the one with Joan Cusack on that exercise bike with the guy, and that was weird?
I just didn't think that was funny. Like, I was expecting funny from a John Hughes movie.
And then, like, I swear, every line that Molly Ringwald had in 16 Candles was, I can't believe so-and-so and so-and-so. I can't believe.
Okay, well, that was an entire cast and... this movie going, I can't believe my parents had this thing, man. It's just like, spare me.
I'm between the two of you. I don't think Breakfast Club was as bad as George thinks, but I don't think it was this holy grail movie that you think.
Right.
I thought it was good. It was different. It was kind of entertaining since we were kind of in that age range.
And I'm being a little tough on it, too. But, yeah, I don't think it's this... Hey, who came to the reunion this year? Well, who gives a flying fart?
Well, everyone does.
16 Candles is basically a comedic version of Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it's funnier. I think there's more jokes.
16 Candles was?
I mean, it's
the whole high school thing.
Very similar. I mean, multiple members of the same cast.
I don't know about that. Who all from the Breakfast Club was in 16 Candles other than Molly Ringwald?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Okay.
Others?
I don't think so.
Aretha?
Uh-oh. Who is this?
Is this Daddy?
What are you doing, Tyler?
This is lo-fi. This is an extreme mono in our ears. But, so they all get together, and Ally Sheedy... Put on the regular one. This is going to distract me the whole time.
That's a quality.
Or you can just do
cover.
We don't have to have music. All right, so Ally Sheedy, Judd Nelson, Anthony Michael Hall, Molly Ringwald, and Emilio Estevez. Now, he was the one who had never made any of the other reunions, Emilio.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But this time he showed up, and he just said that he felt it was time. It had been 40 years, and he felt like he could get together with them.
You're right,
publicly.
Emilio. It's time we all forget about this movie. You're exactly right.
And he looks great. Emilio Estevez is the one who I think looks closest the way he did back then. He is 62 now.
Wow.
Ally Sheedy is also 62. Judd Nelson is 65.
I didn't recognize Ally Sheedy.
You didn't?
No.
I
just, through powers of deduction, I figured that was her because it wasn't Molly
Ringwald.
That
must be the other girl.
But I couldn't have picked her out of a lineup.
Gosh. Boy, I loved Ally Sheedy so much, and it was because she was the female lead in War Games, one of the greatest films
of
all time.
You want to play a game.
That was not her that said that in the movie, but it would be weird if she was the one that said that. But, man, War Games was my everything there for a while. And then the only real teenagers when they did the movie, Anthony Michael Hall and Molly Ringwald, they were both, I think, 17 at the time.
Okay. He was great.
Which you had the uncomfortable scene of Judd Nelson sexually harassing and or assaulting Molly Ringwald in the movie.
Yeah.
There's several things about the movie that probably they
same
they
thing
just
that 16 Candles just don't hold up anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot in 16 Candles. It's weird. Isn't that the one that ends with the rape?
Whoa.
When
I'm thinking of Revenge of the Nerds when they send someone else in there and she thinks it's some other guy that she's being with. There's a lot of bad stuff in 80s movies. A lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
But they used to do these reunions, these Breakfast Club reunions, with a cardboard cutout of Emilio Estevez. And Molly was like, we don't have to use the cardboard cutout now because the universe has graced us with your...
doesn't matter.
Why can't you hold in your disgust? Also, Emilio Estevez said that this one felt special, and that's why he did it. He said, it's here in Chicago where we made the film. This is where the convention was. It's obviously the 40th anniversary, and I just felt like it was time. Someone told me that Molly had said, well, does Emilio just not like us? And that broke my heart. And I went, no, of course, I love all of them. And that just made sense. So, I'm here. So everyone was happy, and there was much rejoicing.
Well, that's great. I'm glad they're happy, and those who love the movie like you, who thought it was a, I guess it was a, it told the story of your...
It was an important film. It was an important film.
It had a couple of funny lines, and it wasn't that big a deal.
It is interesting because it's basically a tin can type movie, right? You're all locked in one place. So it's completely character driven, which is neat. And they made it for $1 million back in 19, I guess they made it in 84, came out in 85, which was, I guess, was that a lot of money back then? I don't know. $1 million? No, I don't think that's a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
Because that would be the same as like a $2 or $3 million budget now, right?
Yeah.
It grossed $51 million worldwide on a $1 million budget. How about that?
That's pretty good. The group said that they would not do a sequel out of respect for John Hughes, who died in 2009, relatively young. I think he was in his 50s. But well, yes, John Hughes was the biggest director of our Ute.
So they had 25 years to do a sequel with him alive.
Yeah, and they couldn't get around to it.
Well, he didn't think it was worth it.
They only had cardboard cutout, so they couldn't do it.
Uncle Buck, that's another one that's better than Breakfast Club.
I don't know that I ever watched Uncle Buck.
Oh, my gosh. John Candy's amazing in that.
Ferris Bueller's a great movie.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll give you that. Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
I sense you were out on Pretty in Pink.
It was okay.
I was really annoyed by Ducky in Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
Have the John Hughes movies come back around and been popular with today's Ute?
My kids loved them.
Really?
Yeah. They loved Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. They loved Uncle Buck may have been their favorite.
Okay. Maybe
Ferris
I need to watch Bueller's it.
Another one. Yeah, they loved that one too.
Molly Ringwald said, I personally don't believe in remaking this movie. She said, because I think this movie is very much of its time. It resonates with people today, but I believe in making movies that are inspired by other movies, but build on it and represent what's going on today. She said, you know, it's very white, this movie. You don't see a lot of different ethnicities. We don't talk about gender in the movie. None of that. So she felt like that needs to be updated. But I bet you there's still a lot of high schools that aren't really diverse. So if you're making a movie about a white high school or a black high school or whatever, I mean... But yes, it would be nice to see in the movies more people represented than just the white bread Molly Ringwald types. Anyway, yeah, made over $50 million worldwide, and they got back together. So it's great to see them all.
I swear they do it every year.
What? The Breakfast Club reunion?
Yeah.
Well, but not with Emilio Estevez. You have to understand, this really
just,
makes the universe
they just
sing.
Go 5, 10, 15, 20, kind of like a... You know, like a high school
reunion?
No,
they do it every year for that paycheck at the Comic-Con convention or whatever they're doing.
Am I making this up, or was there recently a Breakfast Club documentary that we talked about?
Yes, Andrew McCarthy made that.
That's right.
It was a Brat Pack. It wasn't Breakfast Club.
Yes,
but,
that's right.
But
yeah.
Related.
That's right. Like a 2 years ago or a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And that was pretty interesting to watch because... For those who don't know the story, there was this group of young actors in the 80s that were in, like, all the movies. There was some member of this kind of, you know, 10, a dozen of these actors. There were always a few of them in, like, every movie. And an article came out in Variety or the New York Times or something that called them the Brat Pack. And that name kind of stuck with this group of actors. And they all hated the name, and they all kind of just stopped working with each other after this article. And they were all really injured by it. I don't get it. What does it matter that they were called the Brat Pack? But it was a big deal, and so Andrew McCarthy tries to look them all up and get them back together. And he actually talks to Emilio Estevez in this, but he can't get Rob Lowe or Judd Nelson. I can't remember which one of those refused to be in the documentary.
So it was... At least the prominent members, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, Ali Sheedy, Molly Ringwald, Judd Nelson. Demi Moore, Rob Lowe escaped the Brat Pack moniker. But the others kind of, even Emilio, he didn't really do much acting, right? He went into directing.
Yeah, you don't see him in a lot of things. And he seemed like he was certainly more normal than his brother, Charlie Sheen.
Right.
Who was wheels off. And Emilio was the one who kept their family name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlie went with Sheen the same way that his dad, Martin Sheen, went with Sheen, his last name, but Emilio kept Estevez. But anyway, I just thought it was just a beautiful reunion, and really, I've just been celebrating ever since it happened.
For the 12th best John Hughes film, yes, I would agree. That's a big
12th best.
Yeah, because I put Mr. Mom, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Weird Science, Ferris Bueller, the first two Home Alones, Uncle Buck, and the Three Vacations ahead of it.
He did not direct the Three Vacations.
He wrote, directed, or produced all of those.
Produced is a different deal.
Yeah, writing's a different deal, but he
writing
wrote all
counts.
Of those.
I'll give you
he
writing.
He wrote all of those.
He wrote all three Vacations?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, then they count. Well, I guess you did win.
All right, Gordo. Thank you.